so good to worship together and acknowledge God's greatness and his sovereignty, praising him with hearts and minds that worship in spirit and in truth. And I just want to welcome everyone at CBC, and for those who are visiting with us, welcome too. And we also welcome Kathy and David from Uxbridge. David, sorry.
That's okay.
Kathy has spoken to us many times before, and we just look so forward to hearing a word from you, God's word that he laid on your heart for us. So thank you for being here. So I just wanted to let everybody know that we are going to have a brief meeting. It's not a discussion meeting or anything. It's just informational. No, I'll be passing out some papers. And we'll have it at the end of the service right away, just a constitutional change that we just wanted to inform you of. There will be a discussion at the business meeting on the 24th of February. So it'll be very brief. Okay, and any other announcements that are in your bulletin? All the Bible studies have started, I think. We've postponed the one on Monday night, so we'll be starting. Anna Maria, are we starting this Monday for the... We have to talk about it still. Okay. Yeah, that's no problem. But if you're not part of a Bible study, just pray about that and try to be part of one. It's so good to have that fellowship and together in a small group. He's studying God's word. It's incredible. So I encourage you to do that. So I am going to hand it over to the worship team.
Morning.
Morning.
I'm going to read from familiar scripture this morning, Psalm 139, starting at verse 7. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you this morning as a people gathered together to worship you. We all come from different circumstances and different places, different points in our lives, but the one thing we have in common is you. We just ask that you would be with each one and open our hearts and our minds to hear your word this morning. We know that your Holy Spirit is present with us. Where two or more are gathered, we know that you are here. Just pray that you would bless this time that we have together, and that each one would be touched by the songs and the prayers and the words that you have given each one to speak this morning. Again, we pray that you would be with us by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let us just pray over the offering. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, thank you for these offerings that have come forward, Lord. I pray that you will bless it and multiply it for your kingdom use and abroad, and that it will be good and it will be used well. In Jesus' name, amen. Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, we praise you and thank you for loving us. And we cry out, O Lord, for you to abide with us and surround us with your holy presence. We need you, Lord. You alone are worthy of our praise, and we worship you, Almighty God, acknowledging that Jesus is our Lord and Savior at Christian Baptist Church. In this day and age of false teachers, we ask that you keep us sharpening one another and letting the word penetrate our hearts and minds so that we may speak the truth to each other here and beyond. We pray for our pastor, Keith and Annette, Father, that you will keep them strong in Christ as they serve you here and beyond. We pray for Kathy today that your words through her will encourage and teach us. Bless her and Dave and their ministries at Uxbridge, keeping them in your power and strength. Show us, Father, where we can serve you, not just at CBC, but help us to be open to hearing you point out the needs in our community and in our world where we can help financially, or volunteer, or invite someone over who needs our company, or a word from you through our conversation and compassion. We lift up to you for healing those who are weary and sick and discouraged in their health. We pray for Lois McWilliams that you will continue to heal her hip after surgery and give her peace in the place where she is residing. Give Anna Marie and Stephen peace over her situation. We thank you for the good results of Sharon's mother's surgery and the tests. Strengthen her as she recovers at Sharon's sister's house back home. Father, continue to surround David Tian's family with your assuring presence after his loss. Lord, bring peace to their hearts, knowing David was your child. We thank you that George's sister and brother-in-law are feeling much better after a difficult 6 weeks of health issues. Thank you for answered prayer, and continue to be with George's mother. He couldn't see her today, Lord, but I pray that he will get that chance soon to go see her. We ask these things in the powerful name of Jesus. And now I'd like to have some silent time to lay whatever has been burdening you at the feet of Jesus. Whatever's been bothering you this week, just lay it at his feet. If there's something that you want to thank him for, just praise him and thank him in this silent time of meditation now. Father, we thank you for this church. We thank you for the people in it. And we thank you for your Holy Spirit that surrounds us here. And Lord, I pray that this continued time in worship will just glorify you and delight you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Well, good morning. How's everybody doing? You're well? We had a fairly good drive over from Port Perry, actually. It wasn't too bad until we hit a part of Dave's drive where they decided they weren't going to plow. I'm thankful Dave was driving, and I was able to pray during that time. God is good, and he is faithful. Amen?
Amen.
Always, always. I just want to bathe us in a bit more prayer before I speak. Because I don't want you to hear me, I want you to hear Jesus and what he has to say through me. So let's just take a moment and bow our hearts, shall we? Lord, I believe that you have shown me unique ways to speak for you, to be in your presence, to be with your people, and to serve you. And I believe, Lord, that you have shown the people of this congregation the same thing. So it is our pleasure this morning to join in worship over you, with you. Would you continue to be present with us through your Holy Spirit?
Oh, God, you are so good. You are so gracious. I just want to thank you that you speak to us simply. I want to thank you that you teach us through your word the truth of exactly what it is you want for each one of us. Each one of us is called. You have gifted each one. And this morning, I just pray that you would be seen through the experiences you've allowed me to have and be able to share this morning. But God, I do. Every time I stand here, I pray that you would hide me behind the cross and that only you would be seen, that your heart would be felt, and that your word would be ministering to others. So God, be with us. In your name we pray. Amen. I'm not here to do an expository preaching for you this morning, which is where you take the word of God and you actually unpack it in really deep ways. I had the privilege of being on sabbatical this past summer for 3 months after 24 years of full-time ministry. And I'll tell you, I didn't know how to rest until I experienced it. But God shows up all the time when we ask him to. And he shows up in absolutely amazing, amazing ways. And what really blows my mind is how he's shown up here in the service already, through the prayer and through the songs. Because I'll tell you something, this is awesome. Yes, I'll worship your holy name. I'll worship your holy name. We're called to do that. We are called to come together as a body of Christ, as the family of God, those who are called to be in relationship with him and serve him and worship him together through prayer and scripture reading and song and listening. And that is something that God truly taught me over my sabbatical time, is to listen. Quite often, as people in ministry, we get very, very busy as pastors. And sometimes we kind of fall off where we're supposed to be. Not saying that we don't do God's will, but saying that sometimes we do an abundance and maybe outside of that zone where he's actually truly called us to be. So I just want to share with you this morning from the bottom of my heart what God has been able to do through me to restore me and to just allow me to minister for him in a deeper and more beautiful way. The past few years have been very interesting for my husband and myself, and this does totally tie in with God's plan for our life, because I believe he uses every single experience that we have so that we can have that heart and that compassion for others that we may serve. My husband, I don't know if you know, was diagnosed with cancer a few years back. And I praise God that he is here. I praise God that he is on the road to recovery that he is on, and that God has just done amazing things. He is tested every 6 months, and he's well. And we are thankful for that. I'm blessed to have him. And we've gone through several deaths in the last 2 years as well. You've heard me speak before and say that we lost 12 family members. This is a few years ago, I said that to you. We have just lost another several this past year and a half. We unfortunately are missing Dave's mom, and my sister just passed away in April, just previous to my sabbatical. But God is good, because I cannot tell you the blessing of how we were able to serve him and be a light in the darkness beside Dave's mom and beside my sister. The people that walked into those rooms felt the presence of God, and they knew that something was different and that there was a hope. There was a hope. And they were able to ask questions, and we were able to be real. So I want to say this to you. In our healing, in our discovery of how amazing God is, he has been healing our grief. And we are not saddened because we know where they are. Through this process, we started a new program in our church. I think I might have spoken to you about it before. It's called Celebrate Recovery. It's been 2 years ago we started the training for that, and then we opened up a year and a half ago, I guess it is now. But during that journey, if it's run properly, it is an extremely excellent program that focuses on the Word of God and how He can heal you from different situations. Now, some people think that recovery is only for drugs and alcohol. It isn't. It's for grief. It's for sadness. It's for not being able to trust. It's for people that are codependent. There are so many things that we need to heal from in our lives. I was asked to oversee it as our community pastor, and I thought, if I'm going to oversee this program, I had better dive in. I'd better attend this program, and I'd better be able to walk alongside these people. Part of that program also includes a very deep 12-step study that are based on the principles of Christ and His Word. So I decided I'm going to do this 12-step study and see where God takes me. It took 9 months. 9 months of deep soul searching and honesty before the Lord, and where you have to actually write out your inventory of the stuff you've gone through. People that you might have hurt, and the people that you've been hurt by, and you meet with these people, or you write them a letter. And I will say this, at the end of my sabbatical, I continued to study through my 3 months, and at the end, I successfully was able to make it through the step study. And I will say this, that God has shown me how to walk with people in a way that I couldn't imagine. So, going on sabbatical, I remember walking into Pastor Dale's office. And I remember saying to him, I am terrified. He says, you're going for 3 months off. And I said, I'm terrified. What happens if I decide I like it and I don't want to come back? What happens if he shows me stuff that, like, it'll just blow my mind? And he's like, it's okay. And I said, you went last summer. How was it? And he said, scary. I felt the same way as you, but just let God do what He needs to do. And I remember saying to him, please don't be angry with me if I say that I'm actually going and I will be praying, Lord, am I still supposed to be at UBC? I believe that when we are called, no matter what we are called into in ministry for Christ, that we need to be walking with Him exactly where He needs us to be. And I believe that He will work through me, He'll work through you, if we are where we're supposed to be. Tim McCoy from the CBOQ said, bloom where you are planted. He will give you the strength to complete the tasks that He has put before you. Philippians 1:6 says this, being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So as I began my sabbatical, I began to pray. And I will admit now that I was pretty exhausted when I went. We don't really take a lot of vacation time. When we are on vacation time, we typically have gone to serve somewhere and help at camps with Next Generations and just to be with those who might be ill. So to actually take a time where we thought we would just seek God and rest was something a little bit different for us. So in that time, I said, I really, really want to just meet with you, God. I want to be still, just like we were in prayer. I want to be still, and I want to hear your voice. And I want you to show me things, and I want to be able to experience things, Lord, in just a different way. He was faithful. He was so faithful. As I prayed, and as I listened, and as I rested in Him, His words in the scriptures just came to life. It was like they were dancing off the page. It's the best way for me to describe it. When we study the Word, sometimes we get into this routine of just studying it, and we don't say, Lord, fill me, and teach me, and then give me experiences through this Word. It took a while, and Dave will say this as well. It took 5 weeks for me actually just to be able to rest in Him, because I just needed to slow down. I needed to not be busy, and I needed to understand it was okay to sit and drink a cup of tea and just soak in the Lord. I want to share with you step 11 from Celebrate Recovery and the scripture that I will be using today. Step 11 says this, We sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and power to carry that out. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell richly in you, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, with thankfulness in our hearts to God. So, that is what I did, and that is what I challenge you with today. If you can walk away with anything today, I would like to say this to you. Seek Him. Meditate on His word. Have that conscious contact with Him. You know, as we fly around in our busyness today, sometimes we forget to take that silent, beautiful meditation time with Christ. Because He does. He does want us to be together like this and to meet in small groups and to meet somebody at the coffee shop and just talk about Him. To be able to praise Him and to cry out for each other. Verse 16 describes the church gathering where we are to teach and admonish one another through the word, and we're to sing and to be thankful and to praise God. But verse 17 extends it to all life. Everything we do should be done thankfully for Jesus Christ. Thankful worship should be an aroma, a sweet sense of His Spirit. Just as Mary sensed God's presence and the room was filled with a beautiful fragrance of perfume, that should be the way it is when we gather together. So as I relaxed in Him and began to soak in what He enabled me to be blessed by, He gave me three things on three different incidents. The first time that I really felt I heard from God on that time was when He said to me, I want you to think on these three things. What is your personal mission statement? Do you people please? Or do you listen to my voice and please me? And please return to your call. Mission statement was something I thought, what? We need to have a personal mission statement. So I began to pray about that and seek the Lord. And as we traveled to a church that we used to attend, we haven't been there in a while. Actually, I pastored there for 10 years. I thought it would be so sweet to go back there on sabbatical, so we did. And we were there, and the pastor that morning, it was like, have you ever been somewhere and you just feel like there is nobody else in the room except for you? And you're like, whoa. And the pastor spoke, and it was like, there's nobody else here. He's talking to me, and I had better listen because God is speaking through him. And he spoke that morning on personal mission statement. God's timing is amazing, and he is so faithful. So we attended, and he spoke, and I felt this presence in such a beautiful way. And he spoke about how each one of us is gifted when we are in relationship with Jesus. He gifts us with things from his Holy Spirit. And then he spoke about, does your giftedness line up with your mission statement? Do you have a mission statement? If you don't, he says, you better get one. It keeps you on track. It gives you purpose. It keeps you in line with God and what your giftedness is. So I sat there and I thought, Lord, I know where you've gifted me, but what is my mission statement? And I heard from him. And he said, you are to rise above for the sake of Christ and be the light for him in the darkness. I thought, whoa. And I went home and I heard it again. And everything I read just seemed to be about the light. His light in the darkness. And I was so blown away that God would just take his precious time and speak to me about that mission statement to keep me on track as a community and children's pastor. My heart is for the lost. My heart is for the lonely. And my heart is to see those who are hurting be filled with His peace and His presence. As I recently thought about this mission statement, I read from Psalm 143:9, where it says, "Rescue me from my enemies, O Lord, for I hide myself in you." David, the psalmist, goes on to say, teach me your will, for you are my God. May your spirit lead me on level ground. Wherever God places you, and whatever He has gifted you in, and whatever your mission statement may become after this day, know that He is with you, and that He will rescue you. Sometimes when you get into those situations where you go, "Really, Lord, am I supposed to be here?" He's with you. He will never leave you, and He will never forsake you. And then I heard this: "Do not people please, listen to my voice." And I thought, do I people please? And I really had to think on that. And I really had to say to myself, do I do things out of the goodness of my own heart, or am I doing this for you, Lord? Do I say yes sometimes when maybe I should be saying no? I have a lot of energy, and I love to serve, and I love to be with people. And those are great attributes, but sometimes when you only have 24 hours in a day, the Lord will say, no, maybe you shouldn't be doing that. And I'll be honest, there was times where I did it, but I should have allowed somebody else to do it. That's just being completely honest. As a pastor, it's not always easy to say no. There are so many people with different opinions and different points of view, and there is so much to be done. And with that heart for people, I want it to go in, and I want it to serve, and I want it to help, and there was times I wanted to rescue. I can't rescue because I'm not Jesus. Jesus can rescue. And He is the one who saves, and He is the one who delivers, and He is the one who loves, and He is the one who is just our all in all. So when I was reminded of this in my study time, and in my prayer time, in my silent time, it just blew me away. Because I then realized that in hearing God's voice, there was times where I was distracted by doing rather than just being in His presence. Now, I'm not giving you permission to do nothing. No way. Pastor Keith would not be happy with me. I'm giving you permission to bask in Him and figure it out. Where am I supposed to be? Where am I not supposed to be? And if I'm not where I'm supposed to be, whose job am I taking? Who am I not empowering? And who am I not training up to be who they are supposed to be? God is so good, and He gifts us. If we seek Him, if we listen to Him, and if we give Him complete control, listen to His voice. Don't people please. Return to your call. I really struggled with this one because I thought, I am in my call. Am I not? And that is where the fear came in for me. Lord, you've had me in ministry for a long time. What are you asking of me? Are you asking me to leave ministry? Are you asking me to be in ministry in a different way? What are you asking of me? I knew it wouldn't be easy to sit and to listen, and I knew it wouldn't be easy to sacrifice, and I knew it wouldn't be easy if I didn't do those things. But I also knew that being called into ministry and being a female was not going to be easy either, because there are still some problems around that. I can honestly say to you, though, that God has blessed me, and God has surrounded me with beautiful people who have empowered me and believed in me. And Pastor Keith is one of those people. As I said, my love for the broken and the hurting and the next generation is exactly what God said to me. Stay on track, stay on the path, and remain in your call in these areas, and I will bless you. So I say to you this morning, are you on track? Have you heard where he wants to use you? May I say this to you, as volunteers in ministry, you are unbelievably valuable. There is not a pastor out there that could do what we do without you. I was reminded to empower the people around me so that they could use their gifts. I have done my job as a pastor if I can walk out of somewhere and things run well. That means that people are using their gifts, they recognize them, they're being blessed by Christ, and others are being blessed by Christ through them. It's a beautiful thing. On this journey of our sabbatical, we were blessed to discover God's goodness, his faithfulness, and the beauty of his creation. We took 14 days to travel around Lake Superior, and on that time, I said, God, just open our eyes and open our hearts to see your creation, your beauty, and what you have given to us. I never expected him to put different people in our past, though, like he did. And that's exactly what he did. Just as we're walking a pathway, a literal pathway, you know, I had somebody walk up to me who, I'm way up north, and literally just walked up to me and said, remain. Remain in him. I'm like, what? And they walked by. It was absolutely amazing how the Holy Spirit showed up through people who are gifted. And as we traveled around, more experiences like this happened. We were at a picnic table under a shelter when two gentlemen showed up at the picnic table behind us. And I looked over at Dave and I said, these two gentlemen are actually studying God's word behind us. And then I noticed as they opened their study books that they were actually doing their personal inventory through a Celebrate Recovery program, one that I had just finished. So I just bowed and I prayed that they too would have the healing through Christ that I have experienced. I want to share something that happened in our last week of sabbatical. And this is where I hope and pray that you just see the Spirit of God. We have a pathway that we walk in Port Perry. And it's actually between a golf course with some forest and the lake, with a little bit more trees. And this pathway, I believe, was a blessing that God gave me 28 years ago when we moved there. It was a place that I go and I pray and I study God's word and I can sit and be still. But there are so many times where God has met me on that pathway through another human being. I can remember the one time when we were there, me, God, and the Holy Spirit. Dave was not with me this time, and we were walking, and this woman came around the corner, and she says, I haven't seen you in 5 years. This is unbelievable. And she's with somebody, and this other woman is crying. And she said, we just prayed that a pastor would walk along this pathway and pray with us. And she says, and then you appeared. That is not me. That is Jesus. I prayed with this woman. She received Christ. God is good, and he is faithful. And if we pray, and if we seek him, and if we're obedient to him in our callings, then he will put people in our path that we are supposed to meet up with. But then the thing is, be obedient to why he's put them there. And listen to the Spirit so we know exactly what to do. Things like this have happened. I would teach on that pathway about creation to our young adults group, getting them out into creation and actually teaching them about it. But this one time, 1 week before sabbatical is to end, we were walking the pathway. We had been given a gift of a three-year-old dog. We adopted this dog. It was in a home where there was some mental illness. And we said yes to this dog. Well, this dog was so healing to us. It was amazing. And her name is Bella. So we're walking along the path. Bella's with us. And we're going by this gazebo. And as we're going by this gazebo, I see a gentleman. And he's in deep thought. He looks like he's crying. And his head is in his hands. And as we passed, I could feel the spirit just rise up in me, saying, "What have I called you to do?" And then I was reminded of that beautiful scripture, that parable, you know, where the priest walked by, and then Levite walked by, and then finally the Good Samaritan stopped. The Lord just reminded me of that scripture, and we continued to the end of the path, and as we got to the end, I turned to my husband and I said to him, "If that man is still there, I am to stop." And as we went back, he was there. So I just very quietly prayed to myself, "Lord, I have no idea what I am supposed to say and what I am supposed to do, so I pray that your spirit would come now and that you would minister through me and through my husband." I didn't expect the Lord to kind of minister through the little puppy dog as well. So Bella ran ahead of us and jumped right up onto the bench, snuggled up beside this gentleman, and just nuzzled in. And he started to cry. And he said, "My dog just passed away. I so needed this." And I said, "But is there more?" And he opened up and started to share with us the experiences that he had been going through in his life. The experiences that had brought him to this place and this path at that moment, a place he had never been before. He opened up in such a way to say to us that he had been a believer. But he had walked away from his church, he had walked away from his church family, and now his family was under attack. He said that the people of the church were too judgmental, that they didn't listen, that they didn't hear, that they didn't see. This gentleman had claimed that he had now become an alcoholic. And he continued to weep as he shared his story. And I continued to go deeper into his life with questions. And as he shared, and as that relationship started to form, we could just sense the presence of the Spirit there. And then he just completely opened up. And he wept. And then I just said, "Can we pray together? Can we pray for you? Can we pray over you? Let the word of God dwell in you richly." Why? So that it will come to mind, it will come to your heart, it will come to your spirit when he desires it to be there and be used. The conversation with this gentleman ended with prayer. And then he said, "What do you do for a living?" I said, "I'm a pastor." "What? I'm really sorry. Like, I just offended the church." I said, "No, it's okay. You needed to be heard." So we chatted a little tiny bit more, and then he passed me his phone. And I put our church information in there. And I said to him, "You know, God so desires to heal you, and he so desires to see you do his will." I went back to work, and that Thursday, so this would be probably a few weeks later by now, and I was going down to our Celebrate Recovery group, and I'm walking down the stairs from my office, and there's the door from the parking lot, and who walks in but that gentleman from the path with a friend. And he looked at me and he just started to weep. And I looked at him and I just started to weep. And I said, are you here for tonight? And he said, yeah, I am. Are you coming? And I said, yeah, of course I am. And the woman that was with him just said, she's not the lady from the path, is she? And he said, yeah. And she said, I prayed she would be here today. Do you see God's involvement in all of this? This is not human, okay? This is the Spirit of God at work when we are still, walking in our call, listening, not people-pleasing, and know our mission statement. And when we stay on that path that God has put us on, and we don't wander, what is your mission statement for your life? Where has God called you to be? If you believe in Him, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, know this, that you are loved, that you have been adopted into His family, that He has a plan for you that is far larger than you could probably imagine, but you need to be obedient, to be still, to listen, to walk in that call, to use the gifts and the talents that you have been given, because there are so many out there that don't know Jesus, that need to know Jesus. Have you taken the time to humbly listen to the Lord? Have you taken the time to thank Him, to praise Him, to study His word so deep that it does nothing other than affect you? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it is in full humility that I stand here today. For it is only You that could do the things that You have done through this servant. God, I do ask for forgiveness for the times that I have not listened or been obedient to You, for the times that I have gone before You. Lord, I ask the same for this congregation, for those present today and those who are missing, that You would forgive. God, that You would heal, that You would restore, that You would empower, that You would bring to their minds exactly what it is that You want them to do. I pray, God, that You would give them each their own individual mission statement for You. That they would be able to have those quiet times. God, that they would be able to have those times where they listen to Your voice. That the scripture just becomes alive for them. Lord, thank You so much for the gifts that You give. Thank You for the circumstances that You put us into, because I know You're there with us and that You will be the one who leads and guides. Lord, we pray that we would be a people that serve You well, and not out of duty, but because of our love for Jesus. God, give us paths that lead to the people who are in need, that lead to that child who just needs to be read a book or sung to. God, to the person who is the oldest that we know, who is lonely, draw us unto these people. Lord, we thank You that we are sons and daughters, that we are Your children. There's not a better place to be than in You. Lord, we thank You that when we seek You through prayer and through meditation, God, that You are there. God, let Your word be so real to us. Let it be so rich to us. And as we read it, would we be able to just have a depth of understanding that we would be able to teach others and admonish You. We thank you for your wisdom. You are so good. Be with us, lead us on this path, draw us closer to you, and God, teach us to walk in your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
At our time, we're going to sing hymn 705, but I wanted to read this first. It's from the Message version. It's Jeremiah 29:11, my favorite verse. I heard it first when I was 16. I'll show up and take care of you as I promised and bring you back home. I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not to abandon you. Plans to give you the future that you hope for. Thanks, Kathy.
It has been an absolute privilege to be with you again. I just want to say this to you this morning. May God bless you richly. May he use you in ways that you have never, ever imagined. And as you go from this place, it is my prayer that this week would be one that is changed because God is at work in you. May he transform you. May he use you. May he bless you as you are filled with his love, compassion, his grace, and his mercy. Go this week, knowing that you are his, you are loved. Go in peace. God bless you.